should curb the over-aggressive marketing and prescribing of opioids that helped create the current problem without going back to the days when patients suffered needlessly from untreated or undertreated pain. They would also improve addiction treatment and make it more widely available and offer better therapy to those who suffer from chronic pain. The new administration has great political flexibility. Trump has not committed to any specific cannabis or opioid policies. On the campaign trail, he promised to solve the opioid problem by stopping the flow of smuggled drugs and expanding treatment for opioid addicts. But the new administration will struggle to reconcile the latter with its commitment to repeal Obamacare, which greatly increased funding for drug treatment. The rise of big marijuana? In 1992, illegal cannabis sales in the United States totaled about $10 billion. In recent years, that figure has topped $40 billion, making the market for cannabis by far the largest illicit drug market. In 1992, when polled, of those who said that they had used marijuana in the past month, only about 9% reported daily or near-daily use. Today, that figure is 40%, or about 8 million people. About half of them report the symptoms of substance use disorder, including failed attempts to cut back or quit. Despite steady growth in public support for legalization, federal cannabis law has not changed in decades. But there have been dramatic developments at the state level. In addition to the 8 states that now permit commercial sales, another 35 allow the sale or use of cannabis on medical recommendation, which also remains illegal under federal law. The changes in state law have put the federal government in a bind. The states can't repeal federal laws, but the federal government can't enforce those laws without help from the states. 4,000 federal Drug Enforcement Administration agents cannot replace 500,000 state and local police. The Justice Department could shut down state-licensed businesses by obtaining federal injunctions. But unless the states were willing to arrest growers and retailers, the federal government would simply be replacing taxed and regulated sales with untaxed and unregulated sales. Even with the full cooperation of the states, mounting the enforcement effort required to suppress a $40 billion illicit market is hard to imagine, given the overstrained criminal justice system and concerns about excessive incarceration. Even the current level of 500,000 arrests for cannabis possession every year strains the relationship between the police and the communities they serve, especially in high-crime minority neighborhoods. But that level is too low to seriously deter people from consuming cannabis. The risk of arrest per day of use is below 1 in 5,000. Under President Barack Obama, federal agencies reluctantly acquiesced to the state-level cannabis legalization, except when state-licensed activity involved interstate sales, sales to minors, the use of weapons, or links to organized crime or terrorism. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, Trump's nominee for Attorney General, criticized the Obama administration for not enforcing the law. He also asserted that good people don't smoke marijuana. But as Attorney General, Sessions will face the same arithmetic that confronted Eric Holder, Obama's Attorney General. His department doesn't have the manpower to enforce federal laws without help from the states. Cannabis prohibition has broken down, probably beyond repair. But what has replaced it in the legalizing states is far from ideal. The slogan behind the new system, "Regulate marijuana like alcohol," sounds sensible only to those who ignore how bad U.S. alcohol policy is. Thanks in part to low taxes and aggressive marketing, 16 million Americans suffer from alcohol use disorders, and about 90,000 people die from alcohol-related causes every year. The alcohol industry depends for most of its revenue on the minority of people who drink too much, and the industry's political clout ensures that public policy doesn't interfere much with the business of promoting and profiting from alcohol abuse. Under the current version of legalization, the marijuana industry is likely to follow the same playbook. For-profit businesses will strive to create more and more of the heavy daily cannabis use that accounts for 80% or more of cannabis sales. The right set of policies for marijuana would look less like the current policies on alcohol and more like those on tobacco, where taxes and regulations are designed to decrease smoking. High taxes, restrictions on marketing, and relentless anti-smoking messages have driven tobacco use down sharply, especially among minors, and it will continue to fall. But current state-level cannabis legalization features relatively low taxes, loose regulations, and minimal restrictions on marketing, except to minors. As legal marijuana production replaces illegal growing, cannabis prices